Round two at 8:45. Weekday mornings on More in the Morning.
It's a sweet, sweet Friday!
On round one, Christy Blatchford is here from the National Post. Amanda Galbraith, formerly with the mayor's office, now at Navigator Communications. Michael Taub, former speechwriter to the prime minister, syndicated columnist. And Jerry Agar is here from The Jerry Agar Show, 9 to noon. Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the guy we were discussing yesterday morning because of the report in the Toronto Star by Kevin Donovan actually underwent a lie detector test with the Fifth Estate. This is Kerry Winter, who claims that twice in the 1990s, Barry Sherman asked him to find somebody to murder Honey. Here's Bob McEwen, who did the investigative report.
But we asked him to take a polygraph, and he willingly did. And that happened a couple of days ago, and he failed. And this was solely on the issue, did Barry Sherman ask you to help find a hitman to kill his wife? And he failed. And he seemed quite devastated by that, though he's trying to rationalize it. He was back in those days, he was a heroin and crack cocaine addict. He says his memories are hazy at best of some of those times. But he was clearly shaken by the fact that his story had not held up in our lie detector test.
Yeah, well, it could also have something to do with the fact that in the interview with Bob McEwen, he says he hates Barry Sherman and will do anything to ruin his reputation. Amanda, your whole business is people's reputations. What do you make of all this?
I think this is insane. I mean, my heart goes out to the family. This is just one crazy turn after another. And, you know, you want to talk about being, like, I guess people lie and that's unfortunate, but, like, you really have to pressure test this kind of stuff. This is someone's life. This is someone's family. And I think the family, actually, with their statement this morning was very measured and responsible, but I would be absolutely furious if I were them.
Well, their statement reads, "We're deeply hurt, shocked, and angered that Kerry Winter is using the tragedy of our parents' homicides to make outrageous and baseless claims about our father. The family accepts the conclusion of the Toronto Police Service and finds it regrettable that the media would give a platform to these completely absurd allegations."
How much do they pay for the lie detector test? Because I think we were telling them all this yesterday. For free.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they brought in a guy from Quebec, and there's a lot of question about whether lie detector tests work.
Even work, yeah.
But
sure.
I'd like to take one.
We'll do
just
it
to find
next Friday. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Help me out.
Can I write the question?
Yeah, absolutely.
The problem with you, Jerry, is if as soon as anybody asks, like, about Kathleen Wynne or Justin Trudeau, the thing would break. And then...
it implodes in smoke.
No. You think my heart rate goes up or something. I'm so used to this.
All right.
The thing that strikes me as curious is that this is a guy with every visible animus in the world towards his cousins, the Shermans, particularly Barry Sherman. He has a chip the size of a house on his shoulder. He has zero sort of credibility, and he's making these astonishing claims, and yet he's had more ink and more airtime. It's unbelievable. His only goal is to hurt and diminish the reputation now of the late Barry Sherman and hurt the family. And we are enabling him.
Well, no longer. We're moving on. Former MPP Christine Elliott threw her hat in the ring yesterday. Caroline Mulroney to follow. I think it's Rod Phillips will also get into the race. Doug Ford was already in. Michael, I'll start with you. This
sure.
is pretty. It's a fairly impressive field, and there are complaints about each of the candidates.
Of course.
I think Christine Elliott should be the front runner and probably will win, and I think she has a very good chance of winning the election.
I think she has a good chance of winning the leadership race. I don't deny it there, but... No, I actually wouldn't put Caroline Mulroney out so quickly. Again, cachet because of the last name. She is actually an impressive person.
It's a mixed cachet.
It's a mixed cachet, but she's an impressive woman. I have met her overall. The problem really is a lot of pros and cons with everybody who's running here. Doug Ford is at least talking about issues that I want to hear, including getting rid of a carbon tax. But the problem is, if you're supposed to run on the People's Guarantee and you're supposed to represent and unite a party together, if you're creating alienation, I don't know how you do that exactly. Rod Phillips doesn't have a lot of experience. Caroline Mulroney doesn't have a lot of experience. Christy Elliott does, but she's run twice and she's been rejected a couple times. I just don't know necessarily how they match up. The only advantage they have, obviously, is that Kathleen Wynne's popularity numbers are so low that if you put someone like Elliott or Mulroney up for sure, you can win.
Yeah, I will say, I'm kind of team Caroline already when she gets in. But I think regardless, the fact that Christine came in yesterday is great. It's good to have strong women running for the party. Rod, if he chooses to get in, is wonderful. And obviously Doug lends a certain populist appeal to everything. But the real question is, you know, people are talking about experience. I think what we've had to date is people are sick and tired of people that have professional politicians for their entire life. And with great respect to Christine, I mean, no one has more experience. The only other person that has more experience in leadership than her is Tony Clement. So I think that we need to really think long and hard about winnability and yeah. how that moves forward with the party.
Well, I have no dog in the race and quite frankly don't really care, except that it would be useful as a citizen and a voter to have a strong progressive conservative alternative come the election campaign. But, you know, I think Christine Elliott is quite impressive. And I think, you know, her resume is dramatically thicker than Caroline Mulroney's rather thin resume, frankly.
Vic was going to run, then he isn't going to run. Christine was not going to run, and now she is going to run. And Doug Ford was going to run for premier, then he was running for mayor, now he's running for premier. It's the PC whack-a-mole game.
Okay. Jerry for leader.
Christine Elliott is actually going to be on the show at 8:17 this morning, so we'll hear from Christine Elliott in her own words. Speaking of elections and candidates that not everybody loves, should we have none of the above on the ballot? A student is fighting Elections Canada to have none of the above as an option. I was talking with Scott Reed this morning, Michael Tobe, mm-hmm. and I said, I get it, but it's kind of precious.
Okay, a little bit. Look, there is a none-of-the-above party that actually exists. It's a third party that was started up just about a year or two based on some candidates who had run either as independents or for other parties, and they just decided to get together and do it. I don't have a big issue with the option. If you want to put it in, it's perfectly fine. I just don't like the fact that this guy's been fighting with the federal government since last November, wasting time and money to actually decide whether he can or can't do it. The other option as well, just don't vote or spoil your ballot. I mean, that always has existed. It's not the right way. It's not something I legitimately believe in. But if there really was an option for none of the above, A, I'd be okay with it. And B, I'd like to see how many votes it gets.
Well, it already gets those votes in purposely spoiled ballots. I mean, that is a way that you do that protest vote. Because if you do this, then some dippity-doo is going to go out there and change his name to none of the above.
Already been done.
Yeah, has that been done?
It's been done.
There was a guy.
That was the guy I was talking about, the none of the above party. He changed his name to Z, none of the above. For real.
Yeah. Christy, this sort of studied ennui always bores me, because if you do an online poll, for example, who would make the best prime minister of Canada, and you always have to include none, I hate them all, and that always gets 50%.
Yeah, I don't see the need. Michael is quite right. I mean, effectively, when you spoil your ballot, or whoever said it was quite right, when you spoil your ballot, you are saying none of the above.
Yeah.
Listen, let's talk about 24 Sussex Drive. We find out that here we are, I don't know how many months later, I guess it's like 30 months since Justin Trudeau declined to move in. It's costing tens of thousands of dollars to heat and keep the lights on and to shovel the snow, even though nobody lives there. It's a complete and utter dump. And yet nobody's willing to do anything about it. I don't know if you've been there,
yes, I have.
Amanda. Yeah. It's like one of those houses in Forest Hill where somebody for the last 10 years of their life lived on the first floor in a hospital bed.
Yeah, that is one way to talk about it.
It's pretty good, actually.
It's actually perfect. Yeah, this is a part of our Canadian heritage, and this is frankly the problem, I think, when you put politicians in charge of this stuff, is that they don't have the political mettle or don't want to use the capital to actually take care of these things. And now we have this building that is decaying and infested and no one can live there, and it's costing us an obscene amount of money, which they may literally like have to bulldoze to the ground. So
until not so long ago, a prime minister actually lived there. I was there when Harper was the prime minister.
Yep.
And you all have I must say, more delicate standards than me. I thought it was a charming place.
Christine will move in immediately.
I grew up in the Forest Hill area, John, so thanks a lot. But it's really nice. But yeah, you know what? Unfortunately, there are a lot of problems with that house, there's no doubt. Like Amanda, I've been there too, some of the garden parties and other things. And it's unfortunately, the one good thing that I saw here is that he believes he's never actually going to live there. That's great. That means he's not going to win 2019. There's going to be somebody else.
Woo!
Wonderful. Fantastic. Thank you, Justin. One good thing.
All right.
There is concern that children who use virtual assistants will be curt and short with them.
And no. They will,
my mother would have been hilarious with virtual assistants.
Yes.
Sorry. Jerry, is this just another one of those cases where everything is ruining our kids? Every new technology is going to ruin our kids, and this is going to make them rude to servers because they're going to be short with Siri.
Okay, if kids are rude to servers, rude to teachers, rude to other kids, I don't blame Siri. I blame the parents.
Who is Siri, by the way? We're talking Siri?
Siri.
Siri.
Actually,
not
a lot of
Siri BC. Siri.
Yes, a lot of children are talking to Tom Cruise's daughter.
Oh, God.
Alexa.
But you get my point. That,
yeah.
That,
yeah.
Okay. Just parent yeah. and yes. don't worry about
yes.
the technology.
Agreed. I agree.
Also, I don't use Siri or Surrey. Just no. It's too complicated. No.
I'm going okay. to put one out called Surrey.
Yeah,
okay. okay, great.
With a fringe on top.
But
I want one that's called Slurry.
Slurry. Give me another drink.
That's right.
Maybe that'd be good for kids.
Okay, but jeez. I didn't notice Captain Picard ever saying please or thank you for his Earl
Grey
hot.
That's
hot.
True. Yeah. You're right.
Okay. Old City Hall as a history museum. While we were all preoccupied with dramatic murders and other things, City Council yesterday got together and voted like what, 33-3
35-3
I'm actually okay with this. I mean, okay. I usually yeah. hate whatever they're spending money on down at City
exactly.
Hall. But in this case, it's actually a really interesting, cool building. And yeah. why shouldn't it be? Why shouldn't there be a Toronto museum?
Right, but yeah. how are we going to pay for it?
Well, and that's the key. We have to see the actual numbers. Look, Amanda and I were talking this behind the scenes. It is a good idea, and obviously it's a historic building. You want to do something with it, and that would be nice. The big issue I have is A, the money. You're absolutely right, John. B, the attendance. How many people are going to go to this? I mean, I would. A lot of us here would. I just don't know in the outside world how many would actually be interested in looking at a history museum of the city, and that's
well,
it.
Well, you can also, as has been discussed here before, take the library from across the street and put that in there.
Sure.
That draws crowds.
actually, they do.
Actually, they do.
Libraries
right.
are busier
yeah,
than
busy.
Some people think they are.
Okay,
yeah.
and they are, Christy, they're talking about it being a, I mean, maybe Liberty Group could put a restaurant in there. There's going to be the chapel for people getting married. It's going to be a multi-use complex.
Yeah, I guess so. Look, I think it functions perfectly well, but for the sound system, as a courthouse. It's a brilliant courthouse, and it has that great leveler where judges have to walk the same halls as the accused. You often see prisoners and judges passing one another, and I think it's a good way for judges to keep their feet in the ground, as it were. So I like it as a courthouse. And the reason it's closing as a courthouse is because theoretically, there's going to be a brand new courthouse built behind 361, north of 361 University.
But they're preserving the sewer first.
Yes, of course they are.
Let's preserve the sewer.
Let's preserve the sewer, exactly.
Tours of the sewer.
Build a museum around it.
I don't think the new courthouse is even close to being in the offing, and I don't know why they don't just leave it as a courthouse and maybe make some improvements to it, because there's nothing better for a heritage building to be actually used in the modern world in a modern way, as opposed to, you know, having the Liberty Group come in with yet another restaurant. Who cares? I mean, of the alternatives, the best thing is to have a museum, I agree. And it's a brilliant building. We should certainly keep it. But it's nice that it's actually functional now.
Yeah, I would like to go on the record as being pro-sewer.
Perfect.
Oh, I'm awesome. Always pro-sewer.
Robert, set that aside.
Catch the round table. Round one at 7:45. Round two at 8:45. Weekday mornings on More in the Morning. In-depth radio. News Talk 1010.